Thank you so much. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, we're in the word believer. We'll turn to John chapter 3. Let's pick it right up in the beginning of chapter 3 here and get the proper setting of this conversation that the Lord is having with Nicodemus, who, as it says here, is a Pharisee. Note how he came to him, as you might say, you know, a little bit of a secret way. He didn't want to be ridiculed by the other Pharisees or cast out of the synagogue, so he came to him by night. But as it says in chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word verily, verily means truly, truly. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Of course, Nicodemus was thinking strictly in the physical realm, was not thinking spiritually. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Really putting Nicodemus on the spot there, pointing out that here he has had all this access to all the prophecies, the Psalms, the Proverbs, but yet he still didn't have full understanding of the Word of God. Didn't fully understand until encountering Jesus, who Jesus actually was, the Messiah. So he's correcting him here, he's scolding him here a little bit, pointing out to him that he needs to really be listening and paying attention. He's, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man that hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was teaching him here even of his own deity there, that he was there in front of him, but he's also in heaven because he is God. God incarnate in the flesh. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Of course, he's making reference to back when Moses lifted up a serpent on a staff, and it was up on that wooden pole, and they had to look upon it in order to get healing from the snake bites that they were receiving because of their disobedience. Referring back to Numbers chapter 21. As he goes on here, that whosoever believeth in him, who's that? Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have eternal life. I love the way he puts in here, in the King James Version, where it says, should not perish. As he continues in verse 16, which is the most quoted of these, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. should not perish. It doesn't say will not perish or shall not perish. It says should not perish. Because as he has pointed out throughout the verses, if you look at the total context and understand what a difference is in a true believer and one who just merely has the head knowledge or the belief that an event had taken place, but not received it into their heart in true belief. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, or worked in God. So a true believer receives Jesus into their heart, truly believes him, not just in head knowledge, but in spirit, in heart knowledge. And in that complete belief, you have trusted who he is, and believe who he is, God incarnate, and that he died for us, paid price for all sin, past, present, and future, was buried in that grave, rose again the third day, stayed around some 40 days preaching and teaching, ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, our mediator, our advocate, our propitiation, so much, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, then you have true belief. Not just looking up the historical records and seeing that there was a man that was recorded being crucified in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. You could have a general knowledge of the event that took place and believe that that is a historical record, that's facts. I mean, you can look it up. It's different than believing that he's truly the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh, the third part of the Trinity. So that's why it says should not perish instead of shall not. It's emphasizing there's a difference. You have to have true and total belief, not just head knowledge, but believe in your heart and soul. All right, let's go on to the next one here. Over in John chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 43. John chapter 4, verse 43. Now, this one will be on a miracle that has motivated believers because of the miracles that they have seen, which is 43 through 54. Pick it up here. John chapter 4, verse 43 reads, "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." That's what it was taken for some of the people. The old saying, seeing is believing, it comes back to this. That they think if they could see a sign, then they can have some proof, they can believe it. Belief takes more than just what you are witnessing with your eyes. Belief takes some faith, some trust. "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. See, this man didn't wait to see the evidence that his son was okay. He believed right away. He trusted and he believed in Jesus Christ, merely by what he said. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said to him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So many believed because they witnessed this young man being healed. All right, the next one in the book is actually over in Acts, because it's on the same subject matter of this miracles-motivated belief. We'll take a look at that one real quick in Acts chapter 9, in verse 36. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 reads, Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them out forth. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. So because of the miracles that they saw, many believed in that. What was the purpose of these miracles? Because this was a woman that was a good servant, had been serving the Lord for a time enough to be considered a disciple, a student of the Lord. And she was brought back to further work for the Lord. Part of the work would have been the fact that she was brought back, that her healing, a lot of people believed. All right, now back over in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and pick it up in chapter 7. John chapter 7. Let's look at verse 14 through about 44. John chapter 7. Pick it up here in verse 14. He's now about the midst of the feast. Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Now they're looking at Jesus and they're trying to rationalize everything, trying to analyze everything, figure things out. Jesus answered him and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. This is an awesome example of the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, knows everything, has always known everything. He didn't have to go to some college. Because if any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. That's why Jesus continually pointed all attention toward the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father pointing out to them. Because he was dealing with the Jews, and they already had a basic belief in God the Father. So in order to reach them, he had to go in that pathway. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast the devil, who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye of the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not, because I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Seeing all of that, they were, as the ones you're just speaking of, over in chapter 4, witnessing him, witnessing the miracles he was doing, and that was bringing them to belief. Continuing in verse 32, The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Over and over he keeps talking about those that believe in him. Continue here for a few more verses, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this, saying, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" Like, they couldn't believe anyone that would be the Christ, the anointed one, could possibly come out of a town like Galilee was. "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" They didn't know the past of Jesus, that he was born in Bethlehem. They were just assuming where he came out of when he grew up as a young man. So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. They nitpick little details here and there instead of seeing and listening and hearing and observing and trusting and believing. If they had known the scriptures and really knew them, not just had a general knowledge or general reading, but really knew and understood them, they would have known him immediately. All right, run on over into chapter 8, John chapter 8. And here we see some believers in response to the message of Christ. In John chapter 8, let's pick it up in verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." That's when they really got upset, because he's claiming deity there. One note I'd like to bring out right here is up here where he says, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." He is the ultimate judge. He is going to be the one judging everybody, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. So you think, oh, wait a minute, that don't make much sense. If you go back and look at what this word judge is used here, this is a prejudgment. This is a being a prejudice. It's looking at someone and determining something prior to really knowing them or understanding them, which is what they were doing and what their attitude was. They would consider their lineage. They would consider what they were wearing. They would consider the way they appeared. They would prejudge someone before knowing that person. And that's what he's talking about here. That when he judges the inner. He judges the spirit. He judges the true person, not just what is seen on the outside. "And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." Verse 17. "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, talking about his crucifixion, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. And this was a sincere belief here that these expressed, because they were believing his word, his testimony. These weren't believing because of miracles that they had just seen, but because of the strength and the power and the authority by which he was speaking, they trusted and believed in him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what kind of freedom is he speaking of here? A true believer is free from the sins, free from the bondage of Satan, free from all of that past. We'll end it up right here, as we are out of time. But as we see here, there's different ways that people were persuaded and became believers. They believed because they saw the miracles. They believed because just meeting Jesus Christ himself, the authority by which he spoke, by the power that he spoke with, and his personality and so forth, that they believed in him because they trusted him. And we don't have the privilege that many of those had in the past to be able to be right there face to face with Jesus Christ, walking around in the streets of Jerusalem, seeing miracles being performed. But we have this record that has never been proven wrong, the Holy Bible. And when you believe that and you believe in the Holy Ghost that's calling you in and trust that and receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then you have that everlasting life and become a true believer. Not just a head believer, but a true believer in the heart. Well, we'll pick it back up here next time, but let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. It is so informational. It is so uplifting and faith-building. Help us always stay hungry to dig deep into the Scriptures, to find all that faith-building knowledge that helps us be able to walk the pathway you want us to be on. And encourage us to share that with others as well. And let us, the rest of this week, bring honor and glory to you in everything that we do. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.